And beginning with verse 23, couple of verses only. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Amen. It may seem amazing to you tonight that the soldiers would be concerned about some old used clothes at the feet of the cross. But then clothing was much more priceless then than it is now. Everything was done by hand. And so many times when a piece was finished, it was worth more than its weight in gold because of the work involved. Amen. The old song says it was woven by his mother. Blessed faith in every thread. Him who wore it lives forever. He has risen from the dead. The robe of Calvary, the robe in all its glory, will live eternally. You know how it will live? It'll live because it was recorded here in the precious Word of God. And there's one thing that, amen, won't happen in time and eternity. The Word of God will never be done away with. Praise God. Raise your hands and ask the Lord to bless the message tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Pour out the Spirit of grace upon every heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about used clothes. These would have been in the market today or 1,000 years ago or, amen, 1,500 years ago. Priceless antiques if they could have only preserved them and kept them. Oh, if somewhere in antiquity, amen, somewhere in the dry, arid climate of Palestine, they could come upon these garments. They'd be more priceless than the Dead Sea Scrolls. They would be more priceless than anything unearthed lately of any value, of any kind of material, whether, amen, mineral or what have you, amen, just to find these old clothes that Jesus wore. And to think the guys that gambled for his garments took them home with them and didn't realize what they had. Were people healed when they touched their threshold? Were people healed when they happened to just accidentally rustling through the things at the house, happened to touch these old clothes that their soldier daddy or soldier boy had brought home? Amen. Perhaps they put them on and wore them down the street when people brushed against them. Were they healed? Amen. Oh, when aprons were taken from the body of Paul, demons were cast out. Great miracles were wrought because the aprons of Paul touched the bodies of the sick and the demon possessed. Amen. But then the ones that received them, the ones that won them, they didn't realize how valuable they were. Amen. Oh, this thing of value sometimes is often misconstrued and twisted up, and the last is first, and the first is often last when it comes to this thing of value. Amen. I heard of Captain, was it Larry? I can't remember. Luan, maybe it was Luan. Amen, I can't remember exactly, forgive me. But he searched the whole world, according to the story, for the Holy Grail. That's the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. Amen. He searched the whole world for it. And after he'd searched a whole lifetime, he comes home haggard and old and penniless. Amen. And poor himself. He spent his whole lifetime trying to find this priceless piece of pottery, the Holy Grail. And as he nears home, a leper begs for a drink of water. And he pauses to give the beggar a drink of water at the end of his journey looking for the Holy Grail. And suddenly, as he gives the beggar drink, the cup is transformed into the Holy Grail, and the beggar is transformed into the crucified one with nail prints in his hand. He found him not in an act of selfishness seeking treasure, amen, that would profit him, but he found him it, amen, in doing a selfless act for a beggar by the roadside. Praise God. Oh, how would you like to find these antiques? Amen. Jesus' cloak, woven, as the song said, possibly by his mother. Blessed faith in every thread. And he who wore it lives forever. He has risen from the dead. Amen. How would you like to, amen, have his sash or his other garments? Amen. Four soldiers divided the garments among themselves, and then they cast lots for that one overcoat. That one coat. Amen. Oh, praise God. Priceless rags they would be today in anybody's market, because the Catholic Church down through the ages has imagined that they found the shroud, amen, where Jesus' head was pillowed, and people, pilgrims, march from around the world to look at it. Photographers come to take a picture. They even did scientific tests of it to see if it really could be the shroud of Jesus. They decided that it was the shroud of some dead man. Amen. Whether Jesus or not, they don't know. Amen. Priceless rags. Oh, through the years, amen, the Catholic Church has professed to have found the original wood that the cross was made of. After monks from different parts of the world have allegedly found the original wood, now around the world in different shrines, they have 50 different kinds of wood supposed to have been the very wood that the original cross was made out of. But people, because it just might possibly be, they're gullible enough to think, maybe, just maybe, this one's right. And so they follow off after another gimmick. Amen. Oh, to find these priceless rags that Jesus wore, let me present to you something better, praise God. Amen. Oh yes, those used clothing, hallelujah, were priceless rags by our estimation tonight. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. I've wore a lot of used clothing in my time. I was so proud when Mom took a bunch of Dad's old Navy clothes and made me and my brother Carl both a pair of trousers out of them Navy whites that Dad never did wear and dyed them dark blue. Amen. I mean a real pair of pants with a belt. And I was bragging to Jim Rex Hatfield about my new clothes that Mom had made out of Dad's old Navy clothes and dyed them dark blue. Amen. And oh boy, I was dressed up. Now I had a real pair of pants, not a pair of overalls like I wore the most of the time, but a real pair of pants and a belt like a grown-up man. I was dressed up. When as a little boy, I went to Union Hill Church in my used clothes, made down from Dad's old Navies. Amen. I was so proud of them. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Well, you may think, well, we got a little better today. We wear priceless silks. Amen. But, amen, don't forget that a worm wore it first. Amen. It was his bed that he slept in while he was going through that metamorphosis. Was that you, Jimmy, talking about metamorphosis the other day? Amen. While that worm was turning into a beautiful butterfly. Amen. That was his cocoon, if you will. Amen. He wound it himself. Amen. And him right in it. Can you imagine a guy making himself a cocoon from head to foot and him right in it all the time? Amen. Try it sometime. Amen. It's quite a feat for a worm, amen, to weave himself. Where would you start, on the outside or the inside? Would you start at the head or would you start at the foot? Amen. And what would you do with the first few strings? Would you wrap them around yourself or where would you wrap them? Amen. But that silkworm does it. Amen. Yeah, Brother Sexton and Sister Sexton and some more others went over to China and they took us by a whole field full of mulberry trees grown for one purpose. To feed silkworms. Amen. That was worm food. Hey, did you know that silk tie you're wearing, if you happen to be wearing one, was first a mulberry tree? Amen. Took a worm to turn it into a silk strand. Yeah, that worm worked awful hard to do that. Amen. And then they got it before he got done going through his metamorphosis. Amen. And killed the worm and stole his coat. Amen. And put several of those little cocoons in a basin of water. And they found the end, and they took about 5 to 10 of those little strands, amen, and hooked them up to a machine. And while those little cocoons turned in the water, that machine spun one silk thread out of those 5 little threadlets. For ages, the Chinese had the priceless secret of silk, and they had to keep that secret under threat of death. No one could let it out. They were the only ones that had it. The highway that led to China, they called it the Silk Road, because one of the most priceless materials known to man, the raiment of royalty, kings and queens and the rich of the world, was those silken clothes that the Chinese knew how to make. But just remember, your silks are used clothing. A worm wore it first. Amen. Hallelujah. And oh, yes. Amen. We make much of the fact that anything is 100% wool, if you will. Amen. 100% virgin wool. That's even more expensive. But whether it's virgin wool or whether it's been reclaimed, amen, somebody took an old rug and tore it all to pieces and recycled it and made some woolen threads out of it, amen. Regardless of what it is, remember that suit, that coat that's 100% wool, that sweater that's 100% wool, a sheep wore it first. It was his overcoat. It took him through the winter before you ever got it. Amen. So don't get too pridy, amen, about your new clothes. Amen. Yeah, I told you about my genuine Cordovan shoes that I found out the thrift store had to pay $7 for them. Amen. And I thought it was worth it. They're almost brand new, and there's only enough leather on the belly of a horse to make one pair of genuine shell Cordovan shoes. That makes them more expensive. It takes a lot of horses, amen, to make all the shell Cordovan shoes that we need in the world. And so they have to come up with imitations and call it Cordovan. But it's not really Cordovan. Amen. But if it has genuine shell Cordovan on it, amen, and you're real proud of your new expensive shoes, man, $150. Hey, for a new pair of shell Cordovans, maybe two or maybe less if you find them on sale, happen to find them on sale. Amen. But oh, remember, the old gray mare wore it first. Amen. And you had to kill her to get her skin to make a pair of shoes out of. So, amen. There's a lot of things second-handed in this world. There's a lot of people who don't like it because we preach the blood. There's a lot of people that don't like it, praise God, because we preach you need to be covered by the blood. Hallelujah. And we talk in a figurative sense about that robe of righteousness, praise God, and how that we took off the old and put on the new, and about the new clothes that we're going to get some of these days. Amen. What a day that'll be, praise God, when we put on that white raiment that Jesus spoke about. Let's turn over to the book of Revelation if you'd like to and read a promise or two about something better, praise God. Revelation, I think, chapter 2 to start with. Amen. And we'll read, maybe it's all in chapter 3. I don't know. Amen. I got it marked here. And I'll find it if I can get the pages apart. Praise God. It's all in chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 5. It's a promise to Sardis. And he said to Sardis, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and the holy angels. Praise God. Then over to the latter part of the chapter, to the 18th verse. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He's talking to the church. And he's asking a New Testament Christian church, not 100 years old, if you will. Amen. In fact, the first 100 years of Christianity has not passed yet. Amen. And he's telling them, you're a bunch of backsliders, and you've lost your white robe, and you're naked. Well, that's what he told them they was. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Amen. God don't look at things the way we do. Amen. The angels that watch over us, they know whether we're clothed or not. Amen. They know whether the king's got his clothes on or not. Amen. And they ain't gonna lie. When they report in to the Heavenly Father, they ain't gonna lie. Amen. Yeah, he said, knowest not that thou art wretched? It's a wretched thing to not have any clothes. And so we're pretty much, you know, well dressed in America. At least we were until recent years. Nowadays, the more haggard and mismatched and baggy and misfit you look, the more hep you are. Amen. Well, that'll all change, folks. Amen. That'll all change. If it don't change before Jesus comes, I guarantee you it'll change when Jesus comes. Amen. And when people show up at the judgment naked in the blazing judgment of God. You know, it's a terrible thing to be naked if the sun's shining. Because sun does terrible things to human flesh. Causes cancer, they say, and everything else to have too much sun. It'd be a terrible thing, no cold it is tonight, to be outside naked, wouldn't it? Yet there are some people today that are so determined to fit into society. They can't hardly wait to get as naked as they can get. They can't hardly wait. I mean, they'll show up for work with an insulated jacket on and a pair of short shorts. Amen. That's how stupid they are. I mean, they're in style as far as the world's concerned. They got the jacket. Amen. And the jacket makes up for what's lost in their nakedness down below. Amen. Glory to God. Lord help. Praise God. It's a terrible thing that we're going through today. Amen. Used to be clothes make a man and man make the clothes. But now, amen, I don't know. Things are all messed up. I mean, Coke used to be something you drink. Now it's something you sniff, get high on. And grass used to be something you cut in the summertime and fed to cows. Now it's something you smoke. And so things have changed. Amen. Horse used to be something you ride. Now it's something you melt down in a spoon and suck up into a hypodermic and shoot into your veins. And amen. It's the street short for heroin. Amen. It used to be things have changed a whole lot. But I'll tell you what, that's going to change too. God's going to put things in their proper perspective. Amen. I mean, we're going where grass is grass. Amen. Yeah, glory to God. We're going, praise God, where things really count. And I will tell you tonight, you have great possibility tonight of having something better than what you got in this world, where moth and rust doth corrupt. They told us that, amen, the main enemies of silk was, amen, moths and mice, amen, and I can't remember the other one. But anyway, that's some of the main enemies of silk. Yeah, we live in a land where moth and rust doth corrupt. Amen. You remember that car that was such a dream car several years ago? Amen. Oh, man, it's been crushed a long time ago, probably. But if you could find it somewhere in a salvage yard, do you think you'd like it? Do you think you'd want it back? Amen. Probably wouldn't, because rust has taken its toll upon that old car. Amen. My. When I traded my old blue 48 Plymouth for that pretty yellow Plymouth with a black top and drove it to Hamilton 40 years ago last January, drove it to Hamilton, Ohio. When I stepped out of that car, a pair of white buck shoes on, and a sport coat that looked like sprinkled in snowflakes, and the guy out of that yellow car with a black top, amen. Old Jim looked over at Paul. He come to lead me to the church. Said, "Hot dog, we got a cap for a preacher this time." I was sure proud of my yellow Plymouth. But the pastor had a 1955 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, and it would outrun my yellow Plymouth, my six-cylinder Plymouth. That V8 Cadillac, that big engine, it would outrun my Plymouth. I couldn't keep up. Amen. He had me outclassed. You know, you can't hardly get anything in this world what somebody's got you outclassed. Amen. By the time you think you caught up with the Joneses, you find the Joneses moved a little further. And you got to run a little harder. And amen. No offense, Jeremy. Amen. But we're just trying to catch up. That's all. Hallelujah. You may be trying to catch up too, far as I know. Hallelujah. But too many times the Joneses are moved. Oh, I want to tell you, if you'll live faithful to God, praise God. He promised us white raiment. Right now, you can make a real investment in gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Amen. The old auctioneer the other day at the auto auction, the one that's a backslider, Roger, you know, that sometimes talking about the Bible, and he's cussing a blue streak, and he says he goes to church every Sunday up around Muncie, Indiana, but it don't do him much good yet anyway. Amen. Pray for him. But he told about the class reunion and how that this guy that they didn't think would even hardly graduate, amen, comes walking in with his fancy clothes, and he gets out of his chauffeured limousine, and he walks in with his Gucci shoes on, and they ask him how in the world he did it. And this is the guy that was voted most likely to succeed. And he's just barely living from hand to mouth, and he can't hardly make it from one payday to the next. And he said, how did you do it? And he said, well, he said, I stuck my finger in the Bible. And he said, my finger lit on wells. And he said, I invested money in oil wells and got rich. And he said, one day, he said, I stuck my finger in the Bible again, and my finger lit on gold. And he said, I invested in gold when it was cheap, and gold went to $300 and some odd an ounce. Amen. And I got rich that way. And the fellow said, well, maybe I ought to try it. And so he got him a Bible and stuck his finger in the Bible, and it landed on chapter 11. Amen. That's the end of the joke. Amen. If you didn't get the punchline, get my wife to explain it to you. Amen. She gets them tomorrow also. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But you can have gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Amen. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And the magic potion that everybody's been looking for in this whole wide world, I salve, that you can anoint your eyes with, and your blindness be healed, and suddenly you're not wretched anymore, and suddenly you're not blind anymore. Amen. While I was waiting for him to do some work on my car down in Cincinnati today, amen, Vern sent me down to a place to get my car aligned, and amen, it was supposed to be a real good alignment place, and they had a lot of magazines in there, and they had an issue of Time magazine. In fact, they had two of them that had the book of Genesis and the story of the earth all unraveled, you know. Amen. Boy, I mean, it was a sight on earth at the rigmarole they had. Scholars, supposed to be smart men. You know, all you need to understand Genesis is to get saved. Get really saved. Boy, I mean, I felt kind of bad the way they talk about some of our heroes in Genesis. Amen. One fellow said it was what did he say it was? It was like a cereal on the radio or something or other. Amen. And how that the characters were a little bit shady and so forth and so on. Hey, you better be glad. Them Them sidewinders better be glad that God showed us that common men, just like us, make mistakes and can still get saved and go to heaven. Amen. And so God told a whole story. Amen. Not just a romantic story. Not just a tale to excite you to the end of the story. Amen. In fact, some people would read the Bible better if they had a hero and a heroine. Amen. He was rushing to the rescue. But praise God. God's got something better for you. Hey, He's got gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. White raiment that thou mayest be clothed. Praise God. Oh, and that magic potion that will heal your eyes. And you can see what wise men, writers, scholars, amen, some of them, Bible students, don't see just because you got saved and got acquainted with the author. Amen. My wife heard somebody say, and she quoted it to me a few times, if you want to buy the book, you need to know the author, or something to that effect. Amen. You don't know the book, whether it's a good one or not. Know the author. Hallelujah. That's what makes a Bible more interesting. You'll like a Bible better if you get acquainted with the author. Woo, glory to God. You heard the story about the woman that got a book as a gift, amen, from a young man, and she barely could struggle through it, but finally she fell in love with that young man and found out he was the author, and she read it and read between the lines and read it again and again. It makes a difference if you know the author. If you fall in love with the one that wrote it. Hallelujah. Holy men of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You don't want to make the Word of God come to life in your life? Get that same Holy Ghost that wrote it in you. Amen. Felix Clark and Cleo Martin, some of the boys was going to church everywhere in the country. Even the Baptist revivals, they had such a zeal for God. They got down to Mammoth Spring, Arkansas in a Baptist tent revival. Amen. They got to witness to some of the folks, including the preacher outside.